Do you want your middle school girl to grow into a strong, confident, and resilient young adult? So do I. The only thing is, middle school's hard for both kids and parents. Welcome to the Raising Middle School Girls podcast. I'm Janice Scholl, and I'm just a regular parent on a mission to uncover the best tips and advice for raising middle school girls. Hey there, parents. Is your middle school girl feeling left out because she's not part of the popular group? And is it breaking your heart? Or maybe is your middle schooler actually a part of the popular crew, but it's been a nightmare and you don't know what to do? Today, I'm talking with child and teen therapist Hannah Lieb. I read her article in Psychology Today about popularity in adolescence, and I knew we needed to have this conversation on the podcast. Hannah and I discuss what it means to be popular in middle school, how social standing can impact self-esteem and confidence, and how us parents can help our girls when their social status isn't what they want it to be. Welcome, Hannah. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I just want to start off, why does popularity become such a big deal in middle school?
That's a good question. I think that when we all think back to middle school, I'm sure everybody can think back to it right now as we're speaking. And I think you can clearly remember like a hierarchy or who was popular back then and what did popularity mean to you. For me, I remember like kind of a group of exclusivity and cliques and kind of a crew that was not easy to get into, right? Like a crew that presented as more exclusive than just the others. And so for middle school specifically, we think about adolescence, and that's a time period that starts for girls at about age 10, and middle school starts around 11 or 12. And so adolescence is a time when evolutionarily we are predispositioned to leave our family system. Like that's what humans did years and years and years ago, is that was the time when puberty hits and we would leave our family and create like a new social pack or form a new social circle, which is why too being popular becomes kind of like an allure or something that the kids want, because biologically, again, like that's the way that we're wired, is to become part of a new social pack. And so whether that be popular or the term popularity, I think then refers to the top most powerful social circle.
It's interesting because so much about middle school has changed, but I don't think popularity has. And so like you telling me that we're kind of wired to experience this at that age makes sense, because it's like, I really don't think the feelings of popularity have changed much since I was in middle school a million years ago versus what they're like today.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, like just to add to that, is that something that I've heard from clients I work with, because I work with a lot of girls that are middle school age, is that the now TikTok and having a phone and being kind of clued into social media or being a part of it becomes even more exclusive in a way, because some girls that I work with that are in middle school that don't have phones or TikToks have told me specifically, like verbatim, that they feel left out because they don't understand all of the TikTok trends, and that the TikTok trends are partly what makes people cool or popular as well.
You used a word when you were talking before that I want to touch on, and it's power. And I think that popularity really does feel like a sense of power, at least from the outside. Can you talk to me about that feeling? Do the popular kids genuinely feel powerful? What is it about being popular that makes kids powerful?
Yeah, I definitely, because I think it's really interesting now when I think about popularity. I'm almost 30 years old, and I think of popular people as someone that's very likable and outgoing and kind to everybody. But I think that when I talk to girls in middle school, their definition of popular is not somebody that's super nice or friendly or a group of people that are friendly. It's very different, and it seems to be more of a group that's cliquey, gossipy, a little bit more exclusive, like I mentioned earlier. And then that, I think, adds to sort of power, because if you want to get into that group, then you have to be a certain way, look a certain way, dress a certain way. And I think that that kind of adds to the what I describe as they think they have power because they can control who is in their group, who is not.
Yeah, and you're mentioning that they have to be a certain way. Do you feel like there's a cost to being popular for our girls?
Yeah, I mean, think about it's really interesting too because the new Mean Girls movie just came out, like the re-release or the new revamped version. And I think that, you know, middle school is a time again of like body changes and trying to figure out your identity, who you are. And the popular group seems so important to be in at the time, just from experiencing, hearing stories and anecdotes from the girls I work with, that it is very hard to get into that. And then think about not knowing who you are and trying to find that identity and then kind of changing your way or like being moldable to kind of fit in or conform to a certain look, certain way of treating people, certain way of speaking about others and things like that.
I think there's a like there's an obligation to conform when you're popular in a way for our kids that maybe doesn't allow them total expression of who they are, right? As they're changing.
Yeah, because think about if you want to be in the most powerful or exclusive group, then there's also fear of getting rejected because it's so easy to be dropped from a hierarchy of social, like a social group that seems more exclusive and hard to get into, and then they could easily drop you.
You know, we know that middle school is a time when self-confidence really takes a hit for girls in particular. Do you think that popularity has something to do with that and kind of that finding their friendships and their people? Does that impact their self-esteem and their self-confidence?
Absolutely. I think so, because if a girl in middle school thinks, if they really have the belief that being popular is really important and you need to be in this group, and then they're not, then think about, especially at that developmental stage when friendships become really important and leaving your family system and kind of identifying yourself with a new circle, if you can't get into the most exclusive and great and cool circle, then, you know, who are you or what's wrong with you? I think that that's something too, is that like, why am I not good enough? Or that core belief that a lot of girls develop early on of not being good enough or not being pretty enough, not being, you know, as cool as somebody else, kind of gets reinforced more and more when they're not in this group. They're not welcomed into the cool group.
Something that you talk about that is important is the ability to develop authentic friendships, which is not the same as popularity. Can you talk to me about what we should be really striving for our girls in middle school with friendships?
Yeah, I think it's really important. And there's a lot of research that shows that if girls in middle school or middle school kids just have one really close friend that they can be their complete self with, that accepts them, that is open with them, is someone that they can trust and lean on, it buffers against so many obstacles and builds resiliency just to have one friend, just one. And so if we can encourage the girls around us in our community to just think about the values, like what does a good friendship look like to you? What does that mean? How do you show up in a friendship? And how would you want somebody to treat you? And really take time to explore this so that your daughter, or whether it be, you know, a girl that you mentor or coach, can think about it and really think like, what does a good friendship look like? And am I getting that in the group that I'm in? Or, and I think too, like in the article I talked about, I'm the oldest of three and my sister is a year younger than me, just 1 year. And I was really embarrassed of her when I was in middle school and high school because I really wanted to be popular and she could care less. She did whatever she wanted and she had not that many friends, but she had really close friends that she's actually still friends with today. And I'm not friends with anybody from middle school anymore, but she is friends with, because she had two or three really good friends that she's literally still friends with. And they were not the cool girls at all. Like if you thought of a hierarchy, they were probably at the bottom, but they're all so kind and so nice, and they were so studious and smart, and they still are. And I think that that shows a lot of, like, if you think about the friends that you hope to keep in the rest of your life, it would be the ones that are warm and accepting and trusting, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, when you have somebody that you feel like you have to put on a performance for, it's stressful. It's much harder than if you have somebody that you can be yourself with. It's interesting because our girls, like, they know who they can be themselves with. They know that there's a really small group, usually, like, for it to be a popularity thing, they have to have, it has to be elite, right? Not everyone can be popular. But yet a lot of our girls, when they're excluded from that group, feel like they can't break into any group. How do you suggest kids who are feeling kind of let down at, and like you said, you personally were like chasing that popularity group and trying to break in. How do we help that girl? How do we help her realize, like, hey, there are other people who are kind and accepting around you that may be a better fit for you?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that when you ask that question, because I'm specifically thinking of how I was when I was in middle school, because I wish that, you know, I had thought about this a little bit more, or that somebody that I saw, a therapist, that could have stepped in and helped me realize, like, what are, so if we're talking to the girl that's striving to be popular, that's not quite in the group, but thinks it's very important, pointing out her strengths, like actually finding and sitting down with her and thinking about, what makes you you? Like, what makes you unique? Is it that you love reading? Is it that you like art? Or, like, are you really good at drawing? As I've seen become much more popular now, actually, is drawing. A lot of the girls I work with love to draw. But I think just pointing out, like, what is something that you are really passionate or, like, really like? And then trying to really find and take the time to connect her with some sort of group that does that. Like, if she loves reading, maybe there's a library club that, you know, people read in, or a book club for girls, and trying to get that interest to become something that they're really proud of. And as the parents or adults in their lives, to show them and explain to them and reinforce that that's so great that they found something they're good at. And there's people that will respect you and, like, think you're amazing. And I think just highlighting that instead of ignoring it, because I don't think ignoring it is good. I think it's really important to have these conversations. And, like, if your daughter is in the popular group and you know that, then also reminding them how important it is just to be kind to people. Like, you can be powerful, but you have to be polite. Like, you can't treat people badly, because there's so many girls that I work with that are, like, bullied and left out and excluded. And I feel really badly for them, because they feel really badly about themselves in that situation.
Does having a solid base for confidence or self-esteem for our girls kind of protect them from some of the challenges of popularity?
Yes, I think so, because I think that then they don't need the validation to be in this group, or that's not where they're seeking their confidence out from, right? Like, if they feel good about who they are, then they'll be okay with whatever group they're in or whatever circle they're part of, instead of striving to be in this popular group. Because I think that there's a misconception that that actually makes people have confidence or self-esteem, when actually, like, you have to know who you are, and you have to like accept who you are, and like really, and it's so hard, obviously, like in middle school, like nobody's walking around super confident. Like, of course, the popular girls themselves are struggling with self-esteem, but I think just creating these conversations early, because when I was in middle school, we didn't talk about confidence or self-esteem at all. Like, it was nothing. I don't think I even knew like what that meant. And I really wish that it was something that was talked about, so that we could encourage, like, we should be encouraging girls around us in middle school to start thinking about what this means and what this looks like. Because I do think, as you said, like a baseline, that will set them up for success and not having to fake to be somebody else, or, you know, be fake to be in a group or change themselves. Like, they can just be them. And I think it's easier said than done, but it takes conversing about this.
We all know that there are some kids who care more about popularity than others. Do you think it is validation that many of our kids are seeking when they really want to be popular? Is that kind of something that could, you know, make a parent say, hey, they're trying to fill a bucket by getting into that popular group. They're trying to validate themselves. I should be looking for other opportunities to help them build that confidence.
I think so. I actually really do, because I think that it gives them some sense of not purpose, but maybe some feeling of like they're good enough if they're in this group, or they'll be well perceived. And I think that if it's not coming from something else, then that's an easy marker of like what success could look like if you're in a popular group, right? But I think too, like something just to add to that is social media. Again, like I mentioned earlier, we did not have that when I was in middle school. We did not have that. But think about now, you can see literally what everybody is doing without you, like all the time. And so if you are on your phone and you're in middle school and you're looking at like the cool girls or the popular girls or whatever, like hanging out, and you're not invited, I think that adds even more pain. And also to somebody that really wants to be popular, like I think about myself when I was in middle school, I probably would have been sitting there being like, what could I have done to be invited to this? Or what can I do next time to be invited to this? When we could shift that focus to something else, like, okay, well, why don't you get with a group of girls that loves art and all get together and do your art and like feel really good about that?
That makes perfect sense. Okay. So I want to talk. So what do? We have a girl who is either, you know, maybe disappointed that she's not in the popular group. She wants to get in the popular group. Or we have a kid that we just really want to make sure that their confidence is the strongest it can be. We get it. It's middle school. It's in flux. But help us understand, what is our role as parents? Because I'll tell you, I find as a mom, like we tell our kids their greatness and they just roll it right off. They don't hear us when we try to verbally build their confidence. So how do we help them like do it for themselves, I guess?
I think that having a conversation about popularity and power, like distinguishing the two, because it's so important, I feel like, to know that I want the word popular to be known as somebody that's like what I said earlier, like really kind to people. Associate that with kindness and warmness and acceptance, versus I think somebody in power is somebody that's more of like, you know, has this power over others, or has like some sort of, it's almost like they're a leader, but they're not, because a real leader is somebody that kind of wants to make everybody better. And I think that the mean popular kids in school are not trying to like make people feel better about themselves. So I think kind of distinguishing the two P's of like power versus popularity, and that they're very different. And in life, you want your girl to understand that like it's so much more valuable to be the popular kind that's warm and will connect with people and try to lift people up and embody that type of behavior, versus somebody that's exclusive and not wanting to accept people and like just thinking about setting them up for success, and having that conversation. And then making sure to like, again, what I kind of mentioned is like putting them into some activities or with their friends. Like if you realize they have one friend that they love to read together, okay, so like really getting that going, like you guys should start a book club, and like having them start something very specific to what their interest is.
Yeah, I love that you brought up a book club, because I think it's like, it's kind of easier. And I have two kids who are completely wired differently. So this is just my opinion in what we've experienced, but it's easier to give the kid who is athletic and in a team sport the social environment than it is for the bookish kids, right? Like, you know, our kids who are super readers and love books and love to write, like there aren't as many places for them to connect outwardly. It's not at the school necessarily. So what I'm hearing is sometimes we have to build it, if that's right. If our kids are into something that just doesn't naturally and organically happen at school, we might have to take a little bit more of a hands-on approach.
Yeah. And I think you're like, when you said that too, it really resonates of like, I'm thinking about activities, like after school activities for kids that like to draw or to write. And, you know, I have a lot of kids I work with that like writing stories, and there's like nothing really for them. They just do it by themselves, which is okay. But yeah, I think it makes so much more community and feeling good about it and feeling confident if you're doing it with others and like reading too.
Yep. I think that's a great suggestion. So can you tell us a little bit about the group that you've created and how, what are you seeing? Like, what's the gap that you saw with the clients that you meet with that, that really made you want to create this program?
So kind of like actually what we're talking about is really what made me want to make this group. Because again, as middle school is such, I guess it could be called a turbulent time. Like it's just so much change is going on. And, you know, there's so many questions of like, what's happening with my body, or why are my friends acting this way? And like, just now with social media, it's very confusing and very jolting. And especially coming out of COVID 3 years ago was when it started, or 4 years ago. And they, middle school girls now that are 12 or 13 were about 9 in the pandemic, and they missed all of that social interaction. So they didn't have those skills, the social skills that, you know, other middle schoolers had, because they weren't like around others or, you know, socializing with each other. So it's like a missed opportunity, on top of adolescence being a time where, you know, you want to become independent and social groups are really important. A lot of girls now don't really know like how to even socialize as well as they used to. So I think that that was part of the impetus for me wanting to start the group. And what I'm seeing is like, I have about 7 girls in the group, and a lot of them are so sweet. I mean, they're all super sweet, but they are definitely the kids that are the ones that are being left out and are not being included in everything. And I think that's hurtful. Like it's hard for me, because they're all so kind to each other, and they're just not like, you know, I want them to learn, because I think about myself. I was such like a sweet, quiet kid, and I wish that I knew that I was like important too, because I think that I didn't feel important as a middle schooler. And these girls are all so dynamic, like reading. They love to read, love to write. And I think that they should be so proud of all of that. But I don't think that that's what's encouraged in a school setting, right? Or like in a, you know, being extroverted or being somebody that's in sports, what we were talking about, is someone that you would think of like, oh, that's, you know, they're great. But what about the more quiet ones that are really like really kind and really great and really smart? What happens? Like, why aren't they known to be as important, I guess?
Yeah, I kind of, the word that's coming to mind as you're describing this is sort of overlooked.
Like, yes,
they're doing perfectly fine in school, so they're not really getting accolades, but they're not getting in trouble. Like, they're just doing their thing. They're keeping their head down, doing their thing, and they have interests, and they're kind, and they're doing the right things, but that isn't noteworthy based on what we value kind of outwardly in our culture today for kids that age.
Right. And so I kind of just wanted to create a space, and none of the girls know each other. They're all from different schools, but I wanted to create a space that was inclusive and a space where everybody can prioritize being themselves, no matter what that looks like. And I try to have different themes, like stress was a theme, what causes stress. And a lot of it was school related, as social, like school related as in the social setting of school. And I think too, like, I want to create a model for schools, or like a plan for schools to use, and kind of get this going, because I think this age group, there's so much importance in it. And then the topics are really important, like confidence, how to talk, how to stand up for yourself, I think, and how to own who you are and how to deal with stress.
Yeah. I mean, it's been really interesting to me as I've worked through the podcast and just watching our kids in school, how little we teach kids about their internal world. You know, we don't really talk about how their brain works. We don't talk about how our brains are wired to make decisions and how our emotions come into that and affect things. But it just feels like we should, because first of all, regardless of what career path, regardless of whether we're going to use math or science or whatever in the long-term career plans we have, we will all be humans and we will all have interactions with one another. So yeah. The more we can learn about how we operate and how the people who are around us operate, it feels like the better. It's interesting because talking about COVID, something that I'm really starting to understand that like makes perfect sense, but I just missed was, you know, we understood what it meant for our kids to miss math or to miss reading in those formative years, right? And we were worried about the academic slide that was going to come out of COVID. I knew that our kids weren't socializing the same as they were pre-pandemic, but I kind of just thought, I think, that things would go back to normal. And now I'm realizing that social skills are built on top of each other, just like math. You can't skip multiplication and go into algebra. You have to learn the foundations first. And so, you know, a lot of the things that they would have probably picked up organically through those years, now we have to train them. We actually have to make an effort to teach. And that's been like a really big aha to me that the kids missed out on a really important part of their education that had nothing to do with academics. And we need to give them the skills to get through that and kind of patch the foundation.
Yeah, because think about it too. Like everybody was just on their screens all of the time and doing school on your screen. So that becomes almost comfortable. Like, you know, we now when things are awkward, like it's so easy to pull out your phone and just look at that because that's what we were used to instead of just looking at someone in the eyes, even if you have nothing to say or just kind of like those little small interactions that now feel such a big deal.
Yeah. And that's for all of us. Like we were in an elevator the other day. And if you're in an elevator for a couple of floors, pretty much guarantee there's going to be people looking at their phones. Like it's not even 30 seconds, people. Right. And we can't make it through that. Or like if you're waiting for somebody somewhere, I mean, I am not going to sit in a restaurant and just look around. People will be like, who's the crazy lady who's looking at everybody? Yeah. Like, no, I'm going to look at my phone.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's like, it's such an easy vice for social awkwardness.
Yeah. And I think it's important to teach middle school girls the skill to tolerate that. And like, because how else can we prepare them for when they're adults and when they're in situations when they have to wait by themselves somewhere? Like we should empower them to kind of own it and own the space that they're in. And that's like really important. And I think that was so missed. You know, 8, 9, 10, 11 are also extremely important developmental years of like just learning how to pick up on social cues and, you know, more about who you are and things like that. And if you miss all of that, then we have to encourage these skills now and prioritize them.
Yeah. And something else you said that really hit me, you know, a lot of parents I hear from are concerned because their kid doesn't have that many friends. And first of all, like the fact that you mentioned it's important for our kids to have solid friendships where they can be themselves. It's not volume, it's quality, not quantity. But also the kids in your group are great kids. It's if you are not part of the popular group, it does not mean you are in some way defective. It means that you're not part of the popular group. And I think, you know, that's important to reinforce for parents because I think sometimes we can accidentally like worry and then project that onto our kids too.
Yeah.
Do you see that from parents?
Yes. And I think too, like if parents, you know, if they were popular when they were younger and it feels weird that their kid's not, then, you know, they're almost wanting their kid to be popular or they, you know, maybe it triggers something in them. Like it brings back when they were in middle school and they were left out of the group and it gets them all like, well, I don't want this to happen to my kid. So I think that it's really important for parents to kind of pause before they react right away to their kid's distress or being left out and pause and remember that like you're the parent, they're 12. So how can we empower them to work on themselves or what can they learn from this? And we want them to learn how to to accept themselves and be like, okay, yeah, like exactly what you said. Like, I'm not in the popular group. It's really not a big deal, right? Like, so kind of remembering that you're the adult, they're the kid. It feels like a big deal to them, but how can we kind of sway them towards understanding that, like, really there's so much else to be focused on, right?
Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you so much for sharing this with us today. I think it's really helpful for people to understand, you know, like you said, the difference between popularity, power, and authentic friendships. And you've given us some good insight into what us parents could do to help our kids build their self-esteem and confidence. Can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yes. So my website is www.growandglowchildtherapyla.com. And I'm also on TikTok, Grow and Glow Child Therapy, and Instagram, Grow and Glow Child Therapy. And then I have a blog on Psychology Today. If you just look up my name, Hannah Lieb, all of my blog posts are there.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Hannah. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Raising Middle School Girls podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more conversations with experts designed to help you support your middle school girl, please hit subscribe. You can also sign up for the newsletter at the link in the show notes to receive emails about tips and resources, upcoming events, and new podcast episodes, all designed to support you and your child.